Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to be talking about the church today. We're talking. This is Pentecost part two. We'll be in Acts chapter two again. No matter what church denomination it is, the church is only birthed through the power of the Holy Spirit. And growth is only sustained and maintained through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, prayer, worship, loving one another, ministering to one another. So, Father, we're here today, and we want to study your biblical blueprint for birthing churches, seeing church growth, sustaining church growth, and maintaining the church as it grows. It only happens through your people, through the gifts that Jesus gave, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, through the gifts, that offices that Jesus gave and poured out, through prophets, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we want here at Word of Victory Church. And we want to follow your blueprint. The blueprint that you've given us in the book of Acts and throughout the rest of the New Testament and the scriptures. And even the Old Testament, there's a lot to learn from, Lord. So we love you and praise you. And as I prayed, teach us at Word of Victory Church. We don't look at other churches and Paul even told us in Corinthians not to judge other ministries. That's not our job. You'll do that when the time comes. Everybody will stand before you and give account of their ministries and our lives before you. So, Lord, we just ask you to bless all other churches. We just pray that every single leader and pastor of those churches is truly born again and filled with the Spirit. Otherwise, I do believe they are in deep trouble if they're not born again and filled with the Spirit of God, the leadership there. So, Lord, we ask you to bless them, but we ask you specifically for Word of Victory Church, that you would teach us how to grow, to sustain growth, and to maintain the church that you desire for your church to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we talked about last week, the day of Pentecost, we know we celebrate the fulfillment of the promise of our Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for sending us the Holy Spirit. Our Father in heaven, when he gave Jesus the honor of pouring out the Holy Spirit on us or on his disciples, for what reason? To give them power from on high so they could be witnesses in Jerusalem and to bring about the birth of his body, the church, right there in Jerusalem first. And then, with the fire of the Holy Spirit, we would be able to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the world. So Acts chapter 2, we're going to look at, not only provides, I believe, us with a record of the birth of the church, but it also gives us a blueprint or a pattern of how he intended his body to grow. In other words, the book of Acts is the best church growth manual that you can ever read and apply if you want to see his body and his kingdom grow. Amen? There are plenty of seminars, conferences, and books that instruct you on church growth, how to increase your church's attendance and membership. Some of them are good, some of them not so good. But we don't want to grow our church by man's schemes and marketing strategies, although they may be helpful. We want to do it through the Holy Spirit's biblical blueprint that he's laid out for us in the book of Acts. And it all starts in Acts chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, here we see the importance of the fellowship, of gathering together, not forsaking the assembling together of the brethren. But it's not just assembling together in one place. What does it say? We have to be in one accord. All of our hearts have to have the same vision, the same purpose, the same destiny which Jesus wanted us to fulfill. We all have to be one heart, one mind, one soul, in one accord. Amen? So that's step one, the church growth, is we all must be in one accord in this place right here. Are we all in one accord? Amen. Verses 2 through 4. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. We all must be filled with the Spirit. To have church growth, you must have people that are filled with the Spirit. And what did they do with the Spirit? They began to do what, does it say? Speak. We have to learn to speak up for Jesus. Just as Brother Dick did this morning, just as we've been talking about, and many have shared this morning. Spirit-filled witnesses. Spirit-filled witnesses are not afraid to open their mouths to speak. Amen? So step two to church growth is we all must be filled with the Holy Spirit and receive His power to speak for Jesus. The power. The power of the Holy Spirit. The power that we receive from the Holy Spirit includes courage, boldness, confidence, insight, ability, and authority to speak and witness for God. What do we speak about? Well, we're going to have to read a little further to see what they were speaking about. But listen, I just want to share this right now. You may think, or the devil may have convinced some of us to think, we don't have the ability to share the gospel. We don't have the ability to speak. That's not my gift. I can't do that. I can't open my mouth and just talk to strangers and be witnesses. Look, each one of us, if you're Spirit-filled, then you're a candidate to be a witness for Jesus. We're called to be a witness for Jesus. Amen? Doesn't matter your background, your history, your education. None of that stuff matters. What was Peter? He was a fisherman. He was not highly educated. He was educated, but he was not what they would call highly educated. And we'll see that from the response of all the Jews that are in Jerusalem. They say, aren't these guys all Galileans? Well, Galileans would be like saying they're from the ghetto of that day. You know? So they were supposedly low-class people who didn't know anything or weren't able to do anything, especially to be able to speak like this. But it doesn't matter. Because if we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, God can use each one of us. He'll give us the ability. The word power is dunamis, and it actually means to give you ability, the ability to do what God has called you to do. So what's the only requirement to be a witness? Well, you got to be born again and filled with God's Spirit. And God can use each one of us. He'll give each one of us the ability to do it. Amen? So what did they speak about? Let's see. Let's read verses 5 through 13. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Well, we know this is not just a natural words coming forth. This is supernatural gift in speaking in tongues. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans, which I just shared with you? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, there were visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. And what were they speaking? We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. What's the key thing that we keep hearing here about Spirit-filled people? They speak. They like to speak. They like to share. They like to talk about God. They like to share and witness the wonderful works of God. Amen? Spirit-filled witnesses open their mouths to speak about the wonderful works of God. It says, so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they're full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. Guess what that word, words, is there in the Greek? It's not logos. You know what that is? Rhema. He's not just speaking his own words. He's just not just making stuff up. He's speaking God's written word. But you know what happens when a Spirit-filled person speaks God's logos? Exactly the way God tells them to speak it. You know what it becomes? Guess. Rhema. It's not just written anymore. God is literally now speaking through you. It's not you speaking. You're speaking the words, but God, rhema, words are now coming through you to those people. That's where the power is. But it all starts with what? Speaking. We have to open our mouths and speak and talk. Why did Jesus tell them he would send the Holy Spirit? He only tells them one reason. So you can be my witnesses. There are many wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we love all of those gifts that he provides and that we get to use in the church. But Jesus told them there was one reason: I'm going to give you power from on high, to be my witnesses. That still applies to us today, I believe. It's the only way churches are birthed, and it's the only way churches will continue to grow. If his Spirit-filled people open their mouths and speak rhema words of God, but not the words especially that Jesus told them to share. So let's go on. So step four to church growth is witnessing and preaching using the biblical message that Jesus told us to preach to the lost. There are many messages out there now about Jesus. Supposedly gospel messages. Much of the modern gospel is not the biblical gospel that Jesus told the disciples to preach and use to witness to people. Spirit-filled witnesses open their mouths to speak rhema words to those who are listening. Heed my words, Peter told them. Remember, rhema is when logos, which is the written word, the revealed word, the inspired word of God, rhema is when logos, the God-spoken word that we have recorded for us, becomes rhema. When it becomes rhema, it is the word. Now it's not just God's spoken word, but it's the word that God is speaking through you, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to a particular individual in your life. This is probably the most important step for church growth. Our witnessing, our message, the biblical gospel. Are we sharing the biblical gospel? Let's go on and see what Peter shared. These people wanted to know, what could this mean? What is going on here? So Peter tells them exactly from Scripture, since he's speaking to all Jewish people, they would be familiar with the prophet Joel. So he tells them, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Old men dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Again, what do you have to do to prophesy? Open your mouth and speak. It's all about speaking. It's all about witnessing. It's all about using our mouth. We sang a song earlier, let your glory be spread over all the earth. How's his glory going to be spread over all the earth? You're getting it. You got it. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We know that when he says he's going to show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, vapor, smoke, sun turned into darkness, we know he's talking about when the tribulation begins. The church is taken out of here and the tribulation begins. And the very last day of the Lord that he's talking about, I believe, is the great white throne judgment of God. So Peter's sharing what they know about judgment. So he's speaking about a message of judgment. He's letting them know about judgment right now. But what does he tell them? But all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Right? But who's the Lord? Who's he talking about? Well, he's going to go right on and he's going to tell them exactly who is Lord and Messiah. Let's read it. Verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that the grave should hold him, or that he could be held by death in the grave. What's he doing right now? What's he witnessing about? The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. Right? It's important. I just want you to see that. Then he goes into a long, it's only six verses, we might as well read it, telling about David. And to me, this is one of the most amazing prophets. David was so prophetic that David knew about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he uses a couple psalms to testify to that. Psalm 16, I believe it is, and Psalm 110. But listen to what he says. For David says concerning him, talking about Jesus, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. That's a good thing to practice for us too. Always keep your eyes on Jesus. Know that he's at the right hand of the Father, and guess what? He's your Lord, and you can't be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You've made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he's both dead and buried, and his tomb's with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, I love this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. What a powerful, powerful verse to share with the Jewish people who love King David. And one I read a little bit from a Messianic guy, and I'm not sure how true this is. I didn't really check it out. Said that David was born on Pentecost and died on Pentecost. That's why Peter's throwing this out there to him right now. That's just a little bonus thing there for you. Let's look at now the final part of this, verses 32 through 36. Here you're going to see him again talking about the resurrection, the ascension, the exaltation, even the coronation time where Jesus is given the incredible honor of pouring out the Holy Spirit upon his disciples to birth the church. And this is where he tells them definitely who is the Lord that you must call on to be saved. He specifically identifies and names Jesus here. This is awesome. Verse 32. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. They're not only seeing it, but they're hearing it. Why? Because he's speaking. He's telling of the wonderful works of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's witnessing and testifying about Jesus. Peter the denier is now Peter the testifier for Jesus. Incredible transformation. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Here's the statement right here. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified. This is not a watered-down message. But he has made this Jesus whom you crucified what? Lord. Both Lord and Christ, or Messiah, Savior, the Anointed One. He's leaving no doubt in their mind who it is that they have to call on to be saved. And let's see what happens when the Logos Word of God is spoken forth by one of God's Spirit-filled people and becomes Rhema. There is power, life-changing power, saving power. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that is the power of God unto salvation. The true gospel, the biblical gospel that Peter just shared. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, or pierced to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, here it is, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of what? Sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified. What did he use? Words, mouth. He's speaking forth. With many other words, he testified and exhorted him, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Hallelujah. Again, the biblical message. He's not speaking any other words except for exactly what Jesus told them to preach. If you want to check it out, turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Was this the message that Jesus told them to use to be his witnesses after they received power through the Holy Spirit? Well, let's find out. Luke 24, starting in verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. They are following his directions to the T. Did exactly what he told them to do. Go wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. When you receive power from on high, what were they supposed to preach? Repentance and remissions of sins, forgiveness of sins, only comes through his name. Through the name of Jesus. There is no other name given under heaven by which man must be saved but the name of Jesus. So why was Peter's message so effective and so powerful? Well, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a big part of it. Got to be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. But the main, most important part is he gave them the message that Jesus told them to preach. Exactly the way that he told them to preach it. That's where the power is. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. So there's three more verses here, three or four, verses 44 through 47. And the rest, this is the rest of the Holy Spirit's blueprint for church growth. It tells us how to sustain growth and maintain growth in the church. Let's read them real quick, because that's important too. We don't just want to have, I mean, it's great, like Peter, you know, to have one big explosive day and 3,000 people get saved. But all those people, when they got saved, this is the awesome part to this. They were only in Jerusalem for a short while. They were only there for the Feast of Pentecost. So each one of those people, it says, got saved, accepted Jesus, and they got baptized. And then I'm assuming that while they were still had time in Jerusalem, it says they got together for the apostles to learn the apostles' doctrine, breaking bread. They got to learn how to break bread, probably take communion after they got baptized. And many of them then left and took the gospel with them everywhere. Every nation that they had come from, they took the gospel back with them. The church that Paul wrote the book of Romans to, remember it said in the list that some of them were from Rome? The church that started in Rome was more than likely started by one of these Jewish brothers and sisters that got saved right there in Jerusalem. So as great as those church birthing is, we know church birth only comes through the Holy Spirit and preaching the biblical gospel. But then you have to sustain growth, keep growing, and then maintain the growth. You know, maintain and train and disciple everyone that comes in. Verse 44. "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Hallelujah. What an incredible transformation That is a big part of the church too, like we were kind of talking about earlier. Yes, everybody has different preferences for music, for worship, for preaching, for teaching, for types of services, and we don't put any of those down. It's a preference for everybody. Each person has the right to choose that. But a big part of what the church is loving one another, becoming a true family to one another, and taking care of one another, meeting each other's needs, whatever those needs are. We have to make sure that we're still doing this part of it too. We love our spirit-filled times on Sundays. We love the presence of the Lord. We love to come here and get together and minister to one another. But it has to go a lot deeper than that, amen? And it does. We do a good job, I believe, at ministering to one another and meeting needs that are here in the church. Even though because we're a small family, we're able to know each other more intimately and minister to each other in that way. I'm not saying we're perfect. We can still definitely take it to another level in that area. So hopefully the Holy Spirit will speak to each one of us wherever that need is, and we'll be obedient to the Holy Spirit and meet those needs. Amen? Amen. Are you ready to speak the words of Jesus? Are you ready to be witnesses for Jesus? Remember, and I just want to share this. I believe the Holy Spirit gave me this. Remember after Peter had denied Jesus, and I mean, he was really upset, and then Jesus came back, the resurrection, and he told them, be sure Peter, find Peter, and make sure that I want to see, let him know I want to see him too. I'm not mad with him. So he did that, and then I believe in the Gospel of John, he gets together with him. And remember, he asked Jesus, Jesus asked Peter what, three times? Do you love me? Of course I love you. Do you love me? Of course I love you. Do you love me? Of course I love you. And what did he tell him? Then feed my sheep. So the only prerequisite for us to really have God use us in the same manner. Do you believe that he can use you the same way that he used Peter if you're filled with the Holy Spirit? We have to be just like Peter. We have to first love Jesus. We've got to love him so much that we're willing to serve him and do whatever he asks us to do. When he says, feed my sheep, he wasn't just talking about feeding the believers. He had many lost sheep that needed to be fed. If we love him, we'll feed his sheep. If we feed his sheep and we're filled with the Spirit of God and use the message, the biblical message, the way that Jesus told us to share it, we will see a great harvest. We'll see growth in this. We'll see growth in the church, I believe, and in the kingdom of God, which is the main important thing. Amen? So, Father, we just rededicate our lives to you, Jesus. You ask us, just like you did, Peter, do you love me? We say yes. Do you love me? We say yes. Do you love me? We say yes. Then feed my sheep. Father, we want to feed your sheep. That means taking care of each other here, but also ministering to the lost sheep. And we know that if we are filled with your Spirit, that we will be witnesses, that we have received that power from on high, the ability to be your witnesses and to share the biblical gospel. And Lord, if we don't know how to share the biblical gospel, may we get the training that we need to do that. And we know that when that happens, that your word becomes a rhema word, that you are literally speaking through us, and the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ will save souls and change their lives forever. Make them born again. Make them brand new creations in Christ. What an incredible privilege that we get to share. You have asked us to share with you and be co-laborers with you and work with you to feed your sheep and to bring them in. So, Father, we just thank you for this day, and we give our lives to you just like Peter, and we say, we're ready. Fill us more and more. so that we can open our mouths to everybody in our sphere of influence and speak the wonderful works of God, especially the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Back and do I Love the Lord again. There was a time when I was hungry. There was a time when I was sick. There was a time I didn't think I could take it. But you know the Lord, He knew that I would make it. I love the Lord. I'm gonna lift up and praise His holy name. Your spirit.